This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. I got to tell you, we are all over the place today. We start out planning to answer a very specific listener question, but then we hijack our own podcast and we're sort of bouncing around, talking about different ideas and thoughts that come from several of my clients in the last week or so. But we also talk about a play and a movie and a television show, all of which I think can give us some insights into how to continue to advance and mature our relationship. The name of the play, by the way, is Noises Off, which will make sense later in this very cool conversation. Stick around.
I think I was just telling you, so I'm getting ready. Let's see here. So this podcast comes out on Tuesday, which means it's after Mother's Day. We're recording this on a Thursday, but I'm getting ready. I'm doing something that I never do for myself. And to be honest, the only reason I'm doing it is because Ryan left for a trip and was gone for like a week, and he golfed and he saw his friends and he ate out at restaurants and he just had a really, really good time. And my response to that was to feel resentful. Like, how come I don't get to do this?
Yeah.
But rather than make the plans for myself and be like, oh, well, Ryan completely, because he says, I support you. Do whatever you want to do. Do you want to go for like a week somewhere? Do you want to go on a vacation with your girlfriends? He's 100% supportive. But it's like, for some reason, I have this block in my head where it's not okay for me to go, especially after he spent all that time and money. But I got over myself and I said, fine, I'm going to just book myself a plane ticket and I'm going to go to Park City, Utah, and I'm going to go to the spa and I'm going to hang out with my girlfriends.
Right on.
So I'm getting ready to do that. But it's interesting because as I'm telling you this story of feeling kind of like resentful of my husband and his, I would say, like, I'm going to use a word and it's a little harsh, but his entitlement.
Okay.
To go and to do these activities and feel like it's okay for him to take that time. I just kind of had to get over myself, but I've noticed that this is a trend. I'm not the only one, which is why I'm talking about this right now.
Okay.
I've had clients that have said that they feel like their partners are entitled and it's really tough for them to experience their partners leaving and taking time for themselves to be social, to spend money, all of that.
Yeah. I actually had clients this week and he was expressing to her that he felt similarly. And in fact, he felt a little bit like her self-care, her priority for self-care had become disruptive to the relationship.
Oh.
And there was a little bit of irony. Well, I don't know if irony is the right word, but she's sitting there on the couch with a sweatshirt on and the sweatshirt says self-care across the front. And I was like, do you wish she had a sweatshirt with your name on it? And they didn't even realize that she was wearing it, but it was pretty funny. We all enjoyed that moment. But yeah, I mean, self-care is important. And just like anything else, it can't, you know, all things are good in moderation, right? So, which also means to your point, like depriving yourself of self-care is problematic as much as like overindulging, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this is just sort of naturally coming out of this conversation. And we have listeners, in case you're wondering where we're going today, we have some questions that listeners have written in and we will cover those. But at the moment, this does feel important to me to talk about the feeling of like resentment for your partner when your partner takes time for self-care and what the balance is. And because it's something that I'm struggling with, because for me, self-care is like going for a run for an hour. Mm. For my husband, it's golfing for 5 hours and maybe doing that twice a week. or, you know, like, how can I put this? Back in the day, I used to be pretty resentful because I didn't get together with my friends all that much, but my husband had a lot of friends and they were constantly, you know, inviting him to go out and to do things. And I would become resentful of him going out and spending time with his friends. And as an outsider, it's like, that's great. Go spend time with your friends, yeah. Have a healthy balance of spending time, you know, with your buddies. But it was just this weird, almost like jealousy or feeling of, I have a certain tolerance in my head of what is acceptable for spending time as a couple, mm-hmm. spending time in the, you know, as a family, spending time for alone time. And that's just different from my husband's point of view of what's okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know.
It's really, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we hijack our own podcast with stuff that we're discovering in real time. Because as you're talking about it right now, I'm thinking about a couple again that I just talked to last week, and her solution for her husband's, call it problem, is he needs to have more friends. You need to go okay. have more friends. Like, she kind of knows, she must know what his the cure for his self-care problem is, you know?
So why is she saying that he needs to have more friends?
Because he needs to do better self-care, and she has self-care by having friends. And he's uh-huh. like, no, all I want to do is play piano. Like, just give me time to sit here and play the piano. And that mm-hmm. will be the way that I, and it's kind of to what we're talking about. It's really a process of discovery. Like, the two of you have to discern, like, what is it that works for you that you need? Mm-hmm. Because the idea of me having more friends, it's terrifying. I don't want any more friends. I've got two friends and that's enough. You know,
which, in case you're wondering, I'm not on that list.
I spent time with one of them last night and it was like 90 minutes. And I was like, I'm good. I'm ready. I got to go.
Tapped out.
See you later.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting though, because it's like almost as if we prescribe what we think our partner should do for themselves, or what's acceptable.
Well, and so you just said the word that I think, is problematic, which is should, right? I have an allergy mm-hmm. to should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should have an allergy to should.
Yeah, you shouldn't on yourself.
But this is kind of an interesting segue, because the question that one listener sent in is, how do we find balance with our work life, with our relationship life, with ourself? Because there's really, you know, a lot of competing interests going on right now. And I think this is a very generic question that a lot of people have weighed in on, not just relationship experts, but just, you know, sort of like the ask Anne column or whatever. What is it? What's the column?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby. Yeah. The Dear Abby, like, just about everybody weighs in on how to create balance. And I've heard two things where when one person says, you know, fuck the balance, there's no way of creating balance. But I do think it's just a matter of shifting priorities or being intentional when you're trying to look at, how do I do work? How do I do relationship? How do I do me? How do I do kids? How do I do family? And make sure that, I think the question is making sure that none of them get neglected in the process, which is important. I've had this conversation with several couples lately where we have been kind of evaluating, and I did a podcast early on where it was just me and I was explaining this exercise. Why are you smiling?
You're just so excited. It was just me.
It was just me. I've only done a couple of them and they are fabulous. I get rave reviews when it's just me.
You read just reviews? Joking. I don't read reviews.
I haven't read our reviews for years. They all say the same thing. More Laura, less Zach.
Whatever.
I'm just messing with you.
That's not what both of my friends say.
With the sample size of two, they want it more from me. But the podcast episode that I did, it looks at the 10 life domains, and there's, you know, 10 facets of your life. And okay. If you think about it, how are you doing in each of these domains? And the big conversation is, some of these things you can put on autopilot. Some of them, you know, you've sort of like, sure. drilled in and you've gotten it to, it's well working. It's good enough. It's running at 50%. So you put that on autopilot. And as your life changes, sometimes you turn your focus to certain things. And for many of you listening to this podcast, my guess is that you've noticed that your relationship is probably one of those domains that needs a little more time, attention, and focus. And for me, identifying how do I create balance, it's more about how do I create understanding of what can go on autopilot and what needs my intention right now, and that focus. And that to me is pretty important to recognize that it needs the constant reevaluation as time goes on. You can't just set something on autopilot and not come back to it. You have to reevaluate. How's this doing? Do I need to, you know, tune this up a little bit, and then I can put it back on autopilot?
Yeah. I think some of that too comes from, and I'm only just now kind of getting better at this, but it's like listening to your body. I didn't sleep very well last night, in part because my body was just reminding me of all the things that were bothering me. And that's kind of a new experience in the last several months. So I had to kind of wake up today and go, what is going on? Like, what is happening? And I realized I needed a kind of a reset and a few like pretty, I don't want to call them significant, but I needed a reset and some pretty standard issues. And we're coming up on kind of a stressful time. You're about to go have this spa weekend with your girlfriends. We're headed into, Rebecca's having a surgery next week, hip surgery. So we're heading into kind of a everybody's on deck kind of time. And I'm like, gosh, I cannot go into that time not ready, you know, or bothered by these things that are kind of on my mind. So I have the next couple of days to knock that stuff down. But, but yeah, I think it is interesting. The other thing it makes me think is I was talking, I'm just going to out all my clients from last week.
By the way, I have to remind my clients when I work with them, I tell them I have a podcast. And I just wanted to let you know that I never talk about my clients, but Zach, on the other hand, will out every single one of them in a very confidential way, of course.
Well, I mean, in this case, they were talking sort of about the same thing. And I think the theory that I fell back on was the idea that Shirley Glass proposes, which is that healthy relationships have walls and windows, and the wall is around the relationship. And then you have clear windows into one another's lives. And sometimes her book in particular is about protecting the relationship from other people. But it can be from fatigue. It can be from your children. It can be from anxiety and stress. It can be from, upcoming surgery. It can be from weather patterns that you know are about to become problematic, whether it's lots of rain or in lots of sun, whatever. So I think that there's something to be said for if this listener is asking a question about how do you manage the things, you know, the kind of the idea of work-life balance, it really is to check the status of the wall around the relationship, frankly. Is it secure? Are there holes in it? There are in mine right now because of some anxiety that my body was telling me about last night, right? Or some resentment that your body was telling you about after Ryan's golf trip, you know, like, and it's worth taking in information from your body and then responding to it. And we could respond to it with, you know, rage or depression or criticism, but maybe we just need to get on a plane, you know, like, that's what we need to do.
As you're talking about this, I'm thinking about, okay, so the listener's question was, how do I create balance? And so I'm imagining, you know, you have this facet of your life, which is work, and you have a clear boundary around your work life with windows, you know, out to your relationship. This is the Shirley Glass metaphor, right? And clear boundaries around your work would mean these are the hours that I start working. This is when I start thinking about work. This is the time when I stop working. These are the people that I interact with in a professional setting and in a professional way. So there's clear boundaries around that. Why are you laughing?
Because I'm about to out another client because of exactly right? Like, this is all a lot harder when we're all working from home.
Absolutely.
We know we have this skill because this client was talking to me. These clients were talking to me about how he in particular went like kind of on this little rage spree and then was like fired up, all stomping all around the house. And then he had to jump on a Zoom call with his boss and he immediately went calm, kind, present, thoughtful. And I'm like, what permission structures in place that allows you to do that? So again, always fascinating just to think about, we can do the things that we think we can't do. It just means we have to pay attention. And again, I invited him to pay attention to listen to his body. Like, what is your body telling you when your boss is there, but is not telling you when your wife is there? You know?
Yeah.
I think in that case, it was kind of around consequences, right? Like the consequences for screaming or stomping and acting like a 7-year-old boy are higher with his boss and in that moment than they are with his wife in that moment. But
yeah,
that's arbitrary too.
I will out a client, but we call that pterodactyl. With a client that I'm working on, that when he goes full pterodactyl, and it could be with his boss, it could be with his wife, but it just, it cracks me up. I actually lost my train of thought.
Do you know why you can't hear a pterodactyl go to the bathroom?
Why?
Because the pee is silent.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I actually wanted to tell you this. I think it's, a pure mom winning moment, but I started, you know, when I was a little girl, my mom used to write on the napkins in my lunchbox.
Yeah.
And she would write, you know, I love you. Have a great day, mom. And so I started writing jokes for my son. And my favorite part is that he gets in the car at the end of the school day and he's like, hey, mom. And he tells me the joke that I wrote on the napkin for him. And I'm like, wow, buddy, that was hilarious.
Not the sharpest tool in the box.
No, in the shed. Yeah. Yeah. So
I want to just do one more thing real quick, because we want to pick up on the end of this guy's question and then answer another one. But I heard from my buddy in Australia again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with the joke.
Yeah. He sent me some more jokes. So I'll make sure to drop a couple before we get off the podcast. But he's like excited about hearing about himself. And
his jokes
here you go,
on
champ.
The podcast.
Mate. He calls me mate. I'm like, here you go, mate. Here's another shout out for you.
Oh man. I'm trying to think about other ideas of like creating balance, but I guess it would just be trying to figure out, and you can go back and listen to it, but I think, you know, maybe just a mini, let me do that. Let me grab my book really fast and I'll just give you like a little mini lesson in case you missed the last podcast, of just a way of maybe taking a little personal inventory of where are you in each domain of your life and what needs the most focus and attention? Because you might notice that balance for you means that you are giving 70% to each of your life domains, or balance for you might mean that you're saying, this is not important to me right now, and I'm not going to turn my attention to it, because I know that there are some people out there that try and go 100% in all aspects of their life and they hit burnout. And sometimes it's just that personal recognition that I am choosing, this is a choice, I'm choosing to put this on autopilot. I'm choosing to give this 70% of my attention. I know that I'm phoning it in for a while. I'm going to grab my book really fast so that I can give you the life domains as a listener. Okay. And you can do your own little personal assessment. Do, 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 do. You know, Zach and I are huge fans of getting support, especially during abnormally stressful times like these. This is why we have partnered with BetterHelp to put you in contact with licensed professional counselors in your area. Tap into the world's largest network of licensed, accredited, and experienced counselors who can help you with a range of issues, including depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, and more. With BetterHelp's counselors, you get the same professionalism and quality that you would expect from an in-office counselor, but with the ability to communicate when and how you want. The matching process is quick but thorough, and you have the ability to communicate with your therapist how you like it, whether it be messaging, over the phone, or video conferencing. I know that in-person therapy sessions aren't feasible right now, and a lot of therapists are booked out, but don't let that stop you from getting the support that you need. The cost is less than half of what Zach and I charge, which is kind of unheard of. And when you register with BetterHelp, you're supporting marriage therapy radio. Go to trybetterhelp.com/MTR to register. TRY better, BETTER help, HELP.com/MTR to register with BetterHelp. All right. Okay. I'm back. That was good. Appreciate it.
Do you watch Jeopardy? Do you have opinions about the new guest hosts on Jeopardy?
No. So who did they decide on the new long-term host? Because I know there was some controversy around that.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't actually watch cable.
I don't think it's on cable, but that's okay too.
Very out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did start though. Have you heard of the show The Affair?
I love The Affair. And if you tell me how much you love this show, I'm going to get angry because I've been teaching you this show. Like, I gave up talking to you about how you should watch this show because you told me that you would never watch this show. This was like 4 years ago.
Oh, well, I'm definitely watching it now. I appreciate it too.
That makes
But it
me
had
mad.
Nothing to do with, it has nothing to do with your influence. Okay. So here's,
well, can
here's
we talk
some
a little
life
bit about why this show is brilliant, because I think because
I'm only like four episodes in,
okay,
which
but,
took
but
me a
let's
day
circle
back
I'm a
binge on it,
because I think it's really important and I think it's a worthy recommendation, but go ahead and let's do your 10 things.
My 10 life domains. Okay. So, actually, Zach, I'm kind of interested. I want for you to do this right now. I want you to just do a rating.
Oh,
so
gosh,
So just on a piece of paper, I want you just 1 through 10, label 1 through 10 on the left-hand side. And you're going to give yourself a rating on a scale of 1 to 10 in each of these life domains. One would be, this is totally off my radar.
I don't want to do this.
Yes, I would love for you to do it. Okay. Physical health, scale of 1 to 10. 10 is crushing it. 1 is not at all. Number 2 is mental well-being. So how are you doing with your mental well-being? Number 3 is environment or surrounding. So where you're spending the majority of your time. So it could be your home. It could be the birdcage.
Okay,
all right, whatever. Number 4 is hobbies, joy, or restoration. What are you doing for yourself? Number 5, romance. Romance.
Okay.
You don't have to tell the answers. I just want you to do this with me. All right. Number 6, friends and family. For me, it's like all the same.
Okay.
Number 7 is finances.
Okay.
Finances. Number 7 is purpose or work.
Well, you just said number 7 was finances.
All right. Number 8.
Purpose or work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 9, spirituality. And number 10 is personal growth. So the whole idea with this is just give yourself a scale, compare it. If you do this as an exercise with your partner, compare lists, look at, you know, maybe one of you is crushing it in physical health while the other person is really, really not doing well at all. And I would just say, like, hey, for some of these where you're a 7 or higher, you could probably put that on autopilot. You probably have pretty established some pretty decent habits that you are able to kind of disengage from being super intentional in those areas. But the areas that you're falling down in that are like a 2, a 3, a 4, is that something that you do want to turn your attention to?
Yeah,
and I can like,
as I like it. I'm averaging a 6.5.
Are you? You added those all together and divided by 10?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I like it. So you seem like you're like doing pretty well.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
I have one pretty low score. So it drags my whole average down. I might just change it so that I get back up to a 7. And then I don't.
That does sound like
a
Zach
life on autopilot.
Yeah, but here's the question that I have for you: the one that's really low, and you don't have to share which one it is. Is it something that you actually want to put time and attention toward?
I think so.
Or
I mean, who doesn't want to have be thriving? And all of those areas are good areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you know, for some people, it's intentional that the score is low.
This has been
right.
Are you going to bill me later?
I don't know. You're welcome. So that's my long answer to the idea of creating balance is just becoming aware, becoming intentional, and having a plan.
Okay.
What am I doing?
Let's talk
Why
about
am
the
I
affair,
this?
And then we'll tackle this other person's question another time.
Okay, let's talk about the affair.
Okay, I've been trying to get people to watch this show forever. People do not watch this show because they hate the title, because they don't want to watch a show
it's
that
triggering.
Glorifies infidelity.
Right.
I think it doesn't glorify infidelity. What it glorifies is... it's really complicated. And the brilliance of this show, if you haven't watched it, is that it tells the story of an infidelity and many other things. But about half of each episode is told through the lens of one protagonist who is involved in an affair. And then the other half of the same episode tells the exact same story through the lens of another protagonist who is also involved in the affair.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating.
From his perspective, from her perspective.
It's absolutely fascinating to see... Mm-hmm. how the director or the storyteller, or the screenwriters, whatever it is, have crafted multiple versions of the exact same interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not that far off, but they're far enough off that you have to appreciate that there's nuance. So for those of us who are wired to look and see the world in black and white, it's an exercise in trying to pay attention to the things that maybe are there that you don't see. I think that's the mark of a good therapist, period. But I think it's also the mark of a good spouse and partner. Forget the subject matter, but appreciate that that when we recall how something went down, it's quite possible that it went down a completely different way that is also true for mm-hmm. someone else. And that it's the work of reconciling those sort of coexisting truths that is, I think, the work of staying in a long-term relationship. Incidentally, there's also a movie, or it's actually a series of movies. It's called, I'll come up with the title here in a second, but it's actually three movies, and it tells it's the exact same story three times.
Mm-hmm,
the first time is completely through the lens of the husband. The second time is completely through the lens of the spouse. And the third time is an edited version of those two movies spliced together in a way that connects the two stories for the viewer that, of course, neither protagonist had access to on their own either way.
This reminds me of
fascinating thought experiment to let your brain conceive that there's more to see than what you're seeing.
Two truths.
Yeah.
Yeah. This reminds me of a play. So you and I, it's interesting, both have hit like the love of theater, and I never got to perform. I'm almost certain that my son is going to be like on Broadway, just saying that that is like his future. But, when I was in high school and college, I used to volunteer so that I would have access to theater for free. It was very cheap. So I would be an usher. And one of the productions that came in, the entire stage was mobile and would twist like 90 degrees. And the play itself was in three acts. And the first act was what was happening on the stage, what you yourself could see happening in front of you. So you're watching the play. And then they would turn the stage like 90 degrees. And then all of a sudden you get to see the interactions happening back behind the stage.
I know what this play is
called. I'm forgetting what it's called. The play goes on or something like that. Yeah. And so you're watching the actors sort of like scramble, change clothes, the interactions, the dynamics that are happening back behind the stage. Meanwhile, the characters are still playing out what's happening and what we're supposed to see as the audience members. And I forget what the third part was. Maybe it was more of like the personal dynamic or interactions that are happening.
Yeah.
The play must go on. I'm going to Google it.
The movie that I'm talking about is called The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. And it's got James McAvoy and Jessica Chastain in it. It's really fantastic, particularly as a thought experiment. And if we are going to tie this thing up in a bow, this person who asked the question about how to do work-life balance or how to appreciate that there's competing priorities, I think the work of the individual is to be intentionally curious about what am I missing here? What am I missing here? And I'll preach this till the end of days, but when we get certain, then we get resentful. When we get certain, then we get anxious. When we can get curious, we can go, oh, maybe I need to adapt here. Maybe I'm the one who needs to adapt and appreciate that there's more going on here than I understand. Or maybe we need to adapt because the rules that worked for us in the past, they don't work for us in the present. But just because I have an opinion or just because I have a point of view doesn't mean it's actually gospel.
Yeah. Pretty little bow. I remembered what I wanted to talk about, and maybe we'll save this for another podcast. But when we were talking about boundaries and thinking about putting walls up around your relationship, but then having windows between the two of you, one of the things that I was thinking about is what's okay to have a wall of like kind of separating or creating a safe space that doesn't permeate the relationship. And one of the things I was thinking about would be really interesting to talk about is the role of sort of like external influences. And it could be things like anxiety. What's okay for anxiety to play a part in the relationship and what's not okay? Where does there need to be a healthy boundary? What's okay for, when do you lock arms as a partnership and say your anxiety is a part of this relationship and we're going to allow it to sort of come within the walls of the relationship? Or what is something that we need to put a boundary up and say, this needs to be contained outside of the relationship. It's not okay for certain aspects of, let's say, maybe trauma, anxiety, relationship dynamics with your mother, those things to come into the relationship. So I just think it'd be a fascinating conversation to carry into maybe a next episode.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay. We do have a very exciting interview for a lady that I have a strong girl crush on. Coming up, and I'm super excited. We're going to be interviewing Logan Urey. She's an author and just kind of an all around badass, and really excited to speak with her. So that's coming up in the near future.
She's a dating specialist. So she's spent her career researching and helping people in the modern sort of dating era.
Which is so different now with COVID too.
Well, I can't wait to talk to her because I was married at 24 and I never dated anybody. So,
Ditto. I don't even know what I would do. And I have friends that are
listening to the book is, well, I don't want to get into it right now, but, it's fascinating to go, wait, what? Huh? Hold on.
Does she read her own book? She has a great voice.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Okay, cool. All right.
Okay. Well, go get on a plane.
Let's land this plane. Yeah. Let's land this plane. And now I'm going to go hop on a plane. All right, adios. Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. In case you are wanting to read the book by Logan Urey, How to Not Die Alone, prior to having her on the podcast, I think you'll really enjoy it. We're always trying to give you new resources. In case you're wondering, one of the resources that I really enjoy in a podcast episode I had done probably a couple of years ago that really takes a look at how to prioritize the things in your life when you have competing interests. I like to use what's called the Smart Life Push Journal. And it's just a way to really pick out three life domains that really need your time and attention, recognizing what you can put on autopilot for a while. And then moving the needle in each of those areas every single day, trying to obtain just your better self, your best self in those life domains. So if you're interested in checking that out, just Google the Smart Life Push Journal. Thank you for all of your time and attention making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.